Blog Talk Radio.
As we get closer, closer to the end, getting closer to the second coming. The blood of the king,
blood of the king,
blood of the king. Wish I could've walked with them, wish I could've talked with them. They did them awful, but it was lawful. Curse is the man I ain't give on a tree. He was made a curse for you and me. The blood of the king,
blood of the king,
the blood of the king,
blood of the king,
the 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 blood of the king.
Get your life together, I'ma see y'all coming back, y'all. Detaching from the things of the world, ain't looking back, y'all. Descendants of his bloodline, the reason they attack, y'all. Come back to the covenant, the truth, and that's a fact, y'all. They put them thorns up on his head, gave him a roll. Cause he our high priest, they ain't even know. They wrote the king of the Jews on his stone. Give all praise to the ancient old. He coming back, how you can't see the prophecy. And every man will get rewarded for their deed. He gave his life, he gave his blood for you and me. So bow down to your king. Messiah coming back with healing in his wings. He went to hell, he still prevailed, he took the keys. We don't deserve to be alive, so it's your need. Bow down to the blood of the king.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shalom Yisrael, the Shabbat door is open now. We're in the season where the sun has set. Probably each week go by, it will be setting a little earlier from here on to. They change the time back, what they do. But it will be setting a little earlier each day. Each day till it get around 5 something, it will be setting. But Shabbat Shalom, Yisrael, I'm your brother Ariel, here with the last installment of Iblis Culture, Fathers, Children, Children, Love Your Father. Amen. Before I get to talking, I want to open up with a prayer and the benediction. Then we can go through the lesson, what Abba has had for us this last day. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Opening up the Shabbat door for us, Father, for allowing us to come in and dine with you, Abba Yah. Father, as we come in and get comfortable, as we take our shoes off, Father, as we remove the week's baggage from us, Father, thank you, Abba. Thank you, Father, for allowing us and setting the place apart for us, Father, to come and set down this world system, Father, for 24 hours. So we thank you for that, Father. Father, I ask and pray for all the Moray that you have chosen, Father, not just in Beth Yahweh, but throughout the world, Father, throughout Yisrael, Father, for all your Yaladid, Father, for all your children, Father, throughout the world, Father. I ask and pray that you keep them hedged up, Father, that you keep them in your bosom, Father. Abba Yah, I ask and pray for those who are ailing in any type of way, that you lift them, Father, that you give them what they need, Father. May it be physically, spiritually, mentally, or emotionally, Abiyah, that you give them. You fill those vacant parts in their lives, Father, that you fill those parts where they are lonely, Father, that you fill those parts where they are doubting, Father, and that you forgive us for our sins, Abiyah, knowingly, unknowingly, Abiyah. Abiyah, I ask and pray all this in your holy and precious Son name, Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage. A remembrance of creation, blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. Amen. Shalom once again, Yisrael. Shalom once again. And I would like to start off in an apologetic mode, apologizing and asking second, I always ask Abiyah for his apology and for his forgiveness, but I will also ask the congregation and lay an apology for them for being wrong last week. And I remember saying that we was in, we had three. Now I brought that back to mind, so I'm asking that for forgiveness, sincere forgiveness. You know, it's funny how Abba do things. You know, we all learn lessons. We all hear lessons. And then sometimes some lessons for some of us are louder than others, and some hit home faster than others. You know, and thinking about last week's lesson and how it started off that in the book of Matityahu, that's Matthew, and how the Talmudim was asking Yahushua who going to be the greatest. And one of the first things that he said to them was, you must humble yourself. If you want to be great in my kingdom, you have to humble yourself. You know, you and learn the lesson. Because when you go back and you go through the first seven verses of that, you know, he started off talking about humble themselves. He brought a little child over, and he put the child in the middle of them, and he started saying, you must become like this little child. You know, you must become. And so many things come to your mind when you're thinking of a child, right? And those who have child or those who work with child, those who've been around children, you have some idea. You know, I take my grandson, Carter, who even when he's wrong, he lied about it, and it came. But then he cried, and he would say, I'm sorry. And you know, this is sincere sorry, because, you know, he can't play his game no more. You know, so many attributes that we can learn from children. And then you wonder how and why Yahushua gives us these things to look at and to study, right? In one place he says, study the ant. And then he calls us a slugger, you lazy person, right? But study the ant. As Rabbi have always said, do not read over it. You know, and for me, it came back quick. It came back very quick. As my brother Shabba Al, he apologized earlier too, which no one should have a problem apologizing or saying or asking for forgiveness, first and foremost to Abiyah. And then to the congregation, forgive me for that. You know? And if the people have a problem with forgiving, then hey, that's up to Abiyah, because Abiyah will deal with them, as well as he would deal with the leaders who have a problem asking for apology. Trust me, he won't get it out of one way or another. That's why the first thought that he gave me was about last week's lesson. And last week's lesson, if you go back and you read, you get down to verse 7, and out of the scriptures, talks about how there must be a stumbling. And me and the brothers, of Harvard, we talked about it, and the Mario, we got a chance to just chew on that. Well, why is it for the nations, for the people of the nations, right, when you finish the verse out. Why it must be a stumbling? Why couldn't it be, hey, occasionally you might stumble? You know, I don't know, every now and then you might stumble. You might stumble. I don't know, but if you live right and do everything, cross your T's, dot your I's, do everything perfect, you might not stumble. But that's not true, right? We don't do that. We're not going to cross our T's. We're not going to dot every I. We just not going to do that. And Abba Yah, guess what? You know we're not going to do that. But are you going to get up and continue to walk in his ways? Are you going to get up and continue to do what he asks you to do? The scripture says, though a just man falleth 7 times, Yahweh shall uphold him, his right arm. And we know what that right arm is with Yahushua, because if we think about it, he's talking about Yahushua. Yahushua shall bring you back up. Righteous man, righteous woman, when we fall to the left or fall to the right, we get off that straight and narrow, or we make a mistake. As Yahushua's kingdom we trying to get in. As Yahushua's kingdom we all are trying to get in. And there's stipulation. Even within that one chapter, he talked about forgiveness. You know, Brother Peter, jump out there. What Brother Kepha say? Should I forgive a man 7 times? You know, that's what they say around here. I was going to say, no, I say 7 times 7. Out of sight, out of mind. Said in another place, if you can't forgive your brother, I can't forgive you. But the brother or sister have to ask for forgiveness. First and foremost, to Abba Yah. First and foremost, to Abba Yah. But back on the stumbling part, you know, that we must stumble and meditate on that. Why us trying to walk this walk, why we must stumble? So we can humble it. And as you think, just keep the thought in mind as you go back tonight afterwards, if you get a chance, you know what I mean? Get a chance. Read the whole chapter again. Because he brought it back to mind, I read it. He brought it back to mind for me. And when he started off talking about humility, because, you know, some nuts are hard to crack. You know, I got to humble you. You're a hard nut. I'm going to crack you, though. I get you. You're mine. So I got to chase him. I got to. Allow to move in there with you sometimes. So you can learn. You can learn how to first and foremost rely on me. And humble yourself. Be humble. Be humble. If not, I'm going to humble you. I'm going to humble you. And trust me, I felt bad. I felt bad when I woke up this morning and saw that text Brother Shabba Al sent out. My spirit really immediately felt bad. I didn't even want to do the lesson. I'm like, you know what, though? And I'm listening to Halal. You know, I'm listening to Satan. At a moment, that doubt come in and you feel like, you know what, I ain't worthy. I mean, not that I ain't worthy, but I don't feel up to it. All type of excuses run through your mind. But Yahweh gave me the lesson yesterday. Yesterday morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, he woke me up and gave me the encore to my journey, to the journey that he had all of us on. And it's fitting. It's fitting when I say it. It's fitting. But in the process, Ariel, I'm going to humble you. I'm going to show you something. Because for me, I know what, I can't speak for no other. I don't even speak for me. And this is where it's coming from. This is coming from me, Brother Ariel. I know what Abba has for me to do. Now, do I shuck and drive on stuff? Yeah, I do. to know what he showed me, to know what my mindset, and when I take and cage the word of Yahweh, when I take and don't do or have keep that mindset of where he had planted the seed years ago, and that mindset, it get lost, right? It get lost. And for me, the mindset have yes, been about Beth Yahweh. I understand that. I hope y'all understand that. But it's bigger than Beth Yahweh. We ain't building Beth Yahweh. We building the nation of Yisrael. It's not just about Beth Yahweh. It's not just about this little congregation here in Baltimore, Maryland. He said, I scattered Israel throughout the nation, and I've always had that thought. And it's about the nation of Israel. We're just a small piece of the body that he's forming, of the dry bone that's being put back together. But it's a bigger cause. It's bigger than this little thing over here what we have. It's much bigger. This is nation that's being built back together, put back together, excuse me. It's about Abba Yah bringing all children from other nations. Yahweh sure said it. I have some that is not of this fold. And I know how the mindset that, if y'all remember when I talked about the young man, that you got to come to our congregation and we the only ones to have the truth. We don't do that here. But do we? But do we? We know and understand that there's other congregations, other assemblies that have truth, had parts of the truth, and we all have part of the truth. We all have mission. The nation, congregation, to rebuild the nation of Yisrael. What part Abba Yah will allow us to do? To rebuild the nation. To be partakers of rebuilding the nation. Now we're going to talk about the nation tonight. We're going to go back into the scriptures and we're going to look at the nation of Yisrael. Because it's much bigger than Beth Yahweh. And trust me, when Abba Yah looks down, he sees his nation in disarray. He see this congregation over here with bits and pieces. He see this congregation over here with bits and pieces. He see that congregation over there with bits and pieces. Because that's how he did it. He gave us like that. But eventually these congregations will have to start coming together and communing and talking to one another. Can't stay in this bubble forever. And when we did do those Sabbath, unification Sabbath, we learned a lot. Beth Yahweh, we brought things back. So it ain't that we won't learn from other congregations, and we haven't learned from other congregations, and we haven't took what good that they was doing back and added to our services and everything. We've done that. And it is not a moray or priesthood against the children, and I know a lot of Israel live in that world too. Friends, that none of the moray here live in that world is us against them. Because I didn't think about this, to be honest. None of the morays think about the left. Abba Yah whispers and give it to them. If they don't understand why they got it, we don't understand why we're doing it. It's the one that whispers in our ears and give us the lesson. Well, how many of us ask the lesson? Ask the question, why turn the father's heart back to the children? Why turn the children's heart back to the father? Because it's not there in Israel. the children ain't honoring the father, and the father's not honoring the children. Two-way street. They must honor one another. Just the wrong way. Use your big boy, your big girl spirit, and take it the wrong way when I say this scripture that came to my heart. So, fathers, parents, provoke not your children. How do Abba Yah have to put something like that in his word? Provoke their children. Parents ain't always right. Now, again, put your big boy drawers on, your big girl bloomers on, and understand from the spirit what I'm saying. I'm not calling y'all children. And I'm not calling the Kohanim y'all parents. But understand what I was saying. Both sides. Both sides. He also said this. Honor thy mother and father. So your days are prolonged upon the soul which Yahweh, your mighty one, giveth you. So you can live somewhat of shalom. We won't live shalom in the sense of every day will be blitz. We will live in shalom in the sense that we know Abba Yah is on our side. We know he haven't left us. We know that we're putting forth our best effort always to get into his kingdom, and not to just get into his kingdom, to bring someone along, to tell someone the good news. The good news about Yahushua HaMashiach, that he died for us. He shed his blood for us. To see the face expression on someone when they finally see that is Yahushua. That light bulb that go off. The light bulb expression on their face when you give them something of Yahushua. That's a beautiful feeling. That's a good feeling. Why? Because you know you just enlighten someone to salvation. If they gonna stay on that road or not. But you know at that moment you enlighten someone's eyes to salvation. And isn't that what we all are doing? The Kohanim and Yaladim and the people is trying to enlighten someone's eyes to salvation. But there must be a stumbling every now and then. There must be, and if you go back and read it, these are not my words. These are the words of Yahushua HaMashiach. There must be a stumbling every now and then. Why? Same thing that Israel had to go through in the wilderness, 40 years. He said, what? I suffered you to hunger. Suffered you to go without so I can hunger you. I mean, humble you. Humble you. To do what we got to do takes a right mind and a good amount of humility. Takes the spirit of Yahweh and a good amount of humility. First and foremost. That's no other way. And I'm not going to beat that horse all night long. No, yeah, no, I'm not. I got a lesson, and I feel good about the lesson I gave. I wasn't going to read this psalm, but I'm going to read that psalm last. The question. It came to me 3:00 in the morning. Am I sounding all right? I'm on. Yeah, I'm on. I'm still here. That came to me 3:00 in the morning, and y'all know what we've been talking about. For those who don't, we're talking about fathers love your children, children love your fathers. You know, and we came on the scripture of Malachi. Let me go to Malachi 4:6, so you know that's our opening mantra. But I am going to say the question that came to me, but I'm going to read Malachi, and I'm going to start at first 4:4, go down to 4:6. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, which I command him in Horeb, for all Israel laws right ruling. See, I am sending you Eliyahu, the prophet, before the coming of the great and awesome day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, that I come and strike the earth with its utter destruction. Again, this is a prophecy. No matter how we try to look at it, it is a prophecy. It is something that must take place before the great and awesome day of Yahweh. Two things, that the fathers and the children must come to honor one another before the father comes back. And you will see that. You will see who, moving on in the fathers, and who Elijah is moving on in the children. It ain't just Elijah moving on the fathers. He's also moving on the children. What does that tell us? His spirit is moving, the spirit of Elijah, on the fathers. The spirit of Elijah is moving on the children to meet 3 o'clock in the morning. Why Elijah? And if we follow the story that we'll be going through, because it hit me. We done already been through Moshe. We've been through the covenant. We've been through the Exodus, Shemot. And we read how he took Moses. Now, we read that about the spirit of Moses and put it on the children. We should have read that, though. But, you know, in all things in our time. But look at that. Look at that. He took some of the spirit of Moses and put it on the children. So does that tell us he's going to do the same thing with Eliyahu? Because it's not Eliyahu, the prophet that walked the earth, and he's going to do that. No, it's the spirit that was on Eliyahu. Again, following. And Eliyahu. And for me, it hit me. And then I read this many a time. But they are mentioned in the same breath. So they remember my servant, Moshe. Then after that, because I'm going to bring Eliyahu. And I will ask yesterday, well, why Eliyahu? Why is it the prophet that Abba used in ancient times, that he's going to take some of that spirit and put it on the people today? So we're going to go read about Eliyahu. And then some of y'all know why, because this is a nation building thing. Rebuilding the nation of Yisrael. We are part of our bones that's being rebuilt. That body. Let's keep that in our mind too. That dry bones, they come into a body. What body would that be? The body of Yahushua HaMashiach. It ain't what Israel who don't accept Yahushua does. It ain't just because you're waking up. I mean, you're waking up to the knowledge and understanding to who Yahushua HaMashiach is. And you're becoming the body of Yahushua HaMashiach. A lot of Israel. Yahushua ain't alive. Yahushua is dead. He's dead. So let's go to Eliyahu, or 1 Kings. We're going to read 2 chapters in 1 Kings, family. 1 Kings 17 and 18. And answer the question, why Eliyahu? Why? Why he is the one that's going to do that? And you know that Yahweh just gave me that about, put that together for me about Moshe. He took some of the spirit of Moshe and put it on the people. Now he's going to take some of the spirit of Eliyah and put it on the people. 1 Kings 17:1. And Eliyahu the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as Yahweh Elohim of Yisrael lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew or rain these years except at my word. and one more thing. I want to thank the brothers and sisters who was in due diligence trying to tell us that, hey, maybe we off a little bit. And it didn't fit. I didn't say maybe I'm off a little bit, or maybe I didn't single yourselves up. Y'all said maybe we off a little bit. Thank y'all. Because it's not a us against them. It's a oneness. Cannot be a division in any part. But we won't stand. We are working together to bring about salvation to a dying world. And the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide by the Wadi Kireth, which flows into the Yarden. And it shall be that you drink from the stream, and I shall command the ravens feed you there. And he went and did according to the word of Yahweh, for he went and dwelt by the Wadi Kireth. Excuse me. I didn't even know how to turn that off. Which flows into the Yarden. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the stream. And it came to be after a while that the stream dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, rise up, go to Zidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to sustain you. Just some more. Just listen. Listen. Y'all read it before. Some of y'all, and those who haven't, we're reading it now. And he rose up and went to Zarephath, and came to the gate of the city and saw a widow there, gathering sticks, and he called and said to her, please bring me a little water in a vessel to drink. And as she was going to get it, he called and said to her, please bring me the bread in your hand. And she said, as Yahweh, your Elohim, lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks and shall go in and prepare it for myself and my son. And we shall eat it and die. At this time, there's a famine in the land. Family, for those who read it, who haven't read it, there's a famine. There's a scarcity of food. Why? Because Eliyahu have shut up the heavens. And Eliyahu said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus said Yahweh Elohim of Yisrael, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar will run dry until the day Yahweh sends rain on the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Eliyahu, and she and he, her household, ate for many days. Famine in the land. Eliyahu the prophet, Abba had him to shut up the rain. Why? Because Israel doing something they haven't been doing. They're not worshiping Yahweh. They're doing everything else but worshiping Yahweh. So Yahweh said, that's okay. I'm going to shut up the hand. I'm going to cause a famine in the land. Why? Because if you don't get no rain, your crops can't grow. You don't get no rain, your cattle and everything going to start dying off. So I'm going to cause a famine in the land. Why? Because a famine has already took place in the spiritual. They're not listening to the word of Yahweh. Fast forward to today, same thing happening. They're not listening to the word of Yahweh. So what's happening? He's allowing natural disasters that happen all over the world. He's allowing man to mess up the food. He's allowing it. It's going to come a time that man ain't going to be able to eat what he's producing. Why? Because man is not listening to the word of Yahweh. Man is not listening to the word of Yahweh. And the widow, she's malnourished. Her and her son. Why? Why is that? Who is the widow? Israel. Who is the son? Yahushua. Right? As we bringing it up today, as we using what the scripture says, for we know that the Torah is spiritual. Right now, as we had talked in our Bible study with the elders, the world don't know who Israel is. Israel is malnourished. It's right through, popping up. And they sure ain't accepting Yahushua HaMashiach. So again, and out that we read in the scripture, he in real life, in real time, in our day and time. So she went and did according to the word of Eliyahu, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did jar of oil run dry, according to the word of Yahweh, which he had spoke by Eliyahu. And after these events, it came to be that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was very severe until there was no breath left in him. And she said to Eliyahu, "What have I to do with you, O man of Elohim, to bring my crookedness to be remembered and to kill my son?" Listen to this. Man just came into the house. She didn't have no more to eat. Israel. Yeah. A miracle. One of the only households in the land, oil, not go. She said it stays. Soon hardship coming in life. Turn on the man of God. But it's all symbolic for us today. Israel is that one. Israel, that son is Yahushua, and he must be revived. She must come to but to understand and trust the man of Yahweh, or the men of Yahweh. And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him from her arms up a room and where he was dwelling and laid on his own bed. He took him up. That man got to revive the son inside of Yisrael. Around now, and that's what's being done. The men chosen to do a thing have to revive the son in this world system. Why? Because the world has hijacked its false son. True son. Son is dead. They don't know the true mother. That's why the scripture says that she is a widow. They don't know who she is. So both must be revived. And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him from her arms and took him to the upper room and where he was dwelling and laid on his bed and cried out to Yahweh and said, "O Yahweh, have you also brought evil on the widow whom I am sojourning to kill her son?" Listen to the cry of the man. The man been there for so long, and Ishmael, I'm a servant of Yahweh. That this son died while I'm in the presence. Stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to Yahweh and said, oh my Elohim, I pray, let the life of this child come back to him. And Yahweh heard the voice of Eliyahu, and the life of the child came back into him, and he lived. What are we talking about? We start talking about the good news of Yahushua HaMashiach to the son, which it never went away. Because it might got a scoffer on here. It might got somebody who thinks, well, Yahushua, that? No, understand what I'm saying. I told y'all in the beginning, put your big boy spirit on, your big boy George drawers on, and your big girl bloomers on. And Eliyahu took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Eliyahu said, see, your son lives. Listen, Israel, Yahushua lives. He lives. Yahushua. The girl must know that he lives. She must know that she is not a widow. Is a lie. True Israel is a lie. And the woman said to Eliyahu, now by this I know that you are a man of Elohim and that the word of Yahweh is in your mouth is true. Is truth. Amen? Amen. Let's move on to 18 family. Because again, why Eliyahu in these last days? Father, why are you taking the spirit of Eliyahu and putting it on your children? Because they have a job to do too. We all have a job to do. The Kohanim and the people. Because he didn't just say, I'm coming back, and I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. My prophet going, he said, you know what, children? Y'all going to be all right. Y'all ain't got nothing to do. Because the father's going to take care of all of it. No, he didn't say that. We've been reading that verse for 6 weeks now. It should be a part of our memory bank. We should know Malachi 4:6. We should know that by heart. Matter of fact, that's Malachi 4:5. Eliyahu, but we started from 4:4, and I don't know why I started from 4:4 because the thought is in 4:6. But Abba did. He said he's going to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father as well. So that means y'all going to get part of the Spirit too. And after many days it came to be that the word of Yahweh came to Eliyahu in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I give rain on the earth. And thereupon Eliyahu went to present himself to Ahab, and the scarcity of food in Shamarom was severe. Listen, listen. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was over his house. Now Obadiah feared Yahweh exceedingly. And it came to be while Azazel, the King James said, but Azazel cut down the prophets of Yahweh, that Obadiah taken 100 prophets and hidden them 50 to a cave and had fed them with bread and water. Hold on. Now, we ain't going to read over that. We know and understand who Jezebel is. But we're going to move past that. We understand that Jezebel is a woman. But we're going to, what woman? What woman? The one that said it's from the beast. That we read in Revelation. That talks about, that drink the blood of the martyrs. Israel was coming about, that she put her beast at the door of Yisrael at Zion. A little connection with that family. And Ahab had said to Obadiah, go into the land, to all the springs of water, and to all the wadis. We find grass to keep horses and mules alive, not have any livestock cut off. See, and king's house. So the king going to get everything. But what about the people? People starving. This time the people don't, they don't have enough resources. Again, family. A time coming again. And so again, he represents the government. Ahab do. The government gonna have what they need, even if they got the ticket from you. So all these preppers is out there putting their stuff online. They got an army behind them. So the stuff really hit the fan. Don't you think the government coming in there taking their stuff? Stuff hit the fan. They had that channel talking about you a prepper. The continuity of the government continues. So we appreciate you prepping and doing all that stuff. We need that. Army, you can kiss a goodbye. Something like that beast. Like the United States Army. You're going to have to implode this country from the inside out. Know that and understand that about this country here. Ain't no army going to stand against the United States Army. I know China got 1 billion people over there. That's all right. They don't have what this people have. And if you have an ear and understand, you would know. Because there's a prince over top of every country. You always can tell. Remember that lesson. I'm going to go a little ways with this one here. You can always tell how powerful that prince is. That's over top of that country. As we read in Daniel, and he said he was held up by the prince of Tyre. He ain't no regular man. There's a demon. There's a fallen angel over top of these countries that's ruling, that's whispering in these men and women's ears. Go against children, chosen ones. So you out there prepping, you keep that quiet. You out there, you don't be. And I see Israel all the time posting what they got, guns and ammo. No, you keep all that quiet. Monitoring all that. Coming to get it. Hit the fan. Oh, you got penicillin? You got grain? You got seeds? We need that. Keep your mouth shut. Better be quiet. Learn how to move quietly. Unless Abiyah have you out there speaking and teaching his word, then you take that, you shout that on the housetop. How with that? Yeah, and you prepping, you keep that quiet. Although they got so much now that they following you anyway. They know what you're buying in the stores. They know if you're stockpiling by the receipts and by what stores you're going to and what you're buying. Government monitoring all that now. Being monitored. I'll tell you. You now is being monitored. And they divided land between them to pass over. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah who went another way by himself. Obadiah who was on his way then, see, Eliyahu met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is that you, my master, Eliyahu?" And he answered him, go. Say to your master, Yahu is here. What have I sinned? You are giving your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me. As Yahweh, your Elohim, lives, there is no nation or reign where my master have not sent to look for you. When they said he is not here, he made the reign or nation swear that they could not find you. And keep in mind what we're talking about. We're bringing the pages to today. In fact, just a little bit in the days of Shaul, Brother Paul's life. Amadim at that time, when the government and the powers of the devils after them, and how it talks about how Brother Shaul had to be let down in the basket off our house. This life is just going in circles, coming in circles. And as Yahweh your Elohim lives, there is no nation or reign where my master have not sent. When they said he is not here, he made the reign or nation swear that they could not find you. Again, I'm not saying this to fear nobody. I'm saying this to so we can get our faith right. So we, when we say we do, and we say we serve Yahweh, so fears and threaten everything about our life, stand on the word of Yahweh. But it's not saying if you can't get away, get away. Yahweh ain't saying that. Get away at that moment, get away. They got you. So it says, hey, when you see the army surrounding Jerusalem, don't even come back home. In other words, escape if you can escape. Escape if you can escape. The Judeo-Christianity have taught us for all these years that you don't do that. No, that's not what Yahushua said. He said, if you're on a housetop, don't come down to your home. Armies come passing around Jerusalem. Don't go back home. Not what you got, don't have. You ain't got nothing in your pockets, leave. Hey. Put the whole word of Yahweh together. Put it together. We got to make everything work in rightly dividing the word of truth. As it shall be, as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of Yahweh takes you away to a place I do not know, and I shall come to report to Ahab, and when he does not find you, he shall kill me. Excuse me, fam. But I have feared Yahweh from my youth. Was it not reported to my master what I did when Jezebel killed the prophet Yahweh, and how I hid 100 men, prophets of Yahweh, 50 to a cave and fed them with bread and water? What happened? Prophets got away when they understood that their life was in danger. I allowed that. Yahweh said, Yahweh of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I shall indeed show myself to him today. Brother is reassuring. Obadiah, no, I understand the situation you're in, but trust me, I'm coming. I'll be there. Let them know I'm coming. I know your life in danger. And Obadiah then went to meet Ahab and informed him, and Ahab went to meet Eliyahu. And it came to be, when Ahab saw Eliyahu, that Ahab said to him, "Let you, herbal of Yisrael, Israelite." Keep reading. We won't hear the story. Let me keep going. But remember that. What he's saying to the righteous prophet is other Israel. Israelite. Are you the one that's disturbing Israel, or in some scriptures say, troubling Israel. And as he answered, I have not disturbed Israel, but you and your father's house, that you have forsaken the commands of Yahweh and you have followed Baal. Gather all Israel to me, from the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Isabel's table. They had then sent for all the children of Israel, gathered the prophets on Mount Carmel. And Eliyahu came to all the people and said, how long would you keep hopping between two opinions? That's not Israel today, family. Why Eliyahu? Why Eliyahu? Is Elohim? Him. Baal? People answered him not a word. Yahu said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of Yahweh, but the prophets of Baal are 450 men. Cut that out. Cut that mindset out. I know a brother that said all the time, I'm the only one, and Israel left me out here on the street. Shut up with that. Not alone. Nonsense. Alone, you're not. If we go into the next chapter, y'all would say, you ain't alone. I got 7,000 men. Bow the knee. Not even the ones that the 100 Obadiah who said he had. Got that. Shut up with that. You're not alone. Not one Israelite standing on the truth. What is that an Israelite in the world? Millions of them. Standing on the truth. You are not alone. That we can see throughout the ages of Israel that they've been like that. God, I'm going to tell you what. The only one that was ever alone, he is the only one that was ever alone. And that is spiritually and physically. Although he had his Talmudim there, there's moments that he felt alone. And that was the ultimate moment that he felt alone when he was up on that tree and didn't feel his father. Did not feel his father. That is the ultimate loneliness. That one right there, when you don't feel Yahweh. I won't go and touch it, but Dion, listen to this TikTok today, and Dion started out about how his stepfather and his biological father was alcoholic and drug users. And his mother was never there trying to make ends meet, but ends never met. So he was a child, he grew up in the house, and he had a father there, and his mother wasn't there because she was always working, trying to keep a roof over their head. But they struggled a lot in what I was gathering. But as a teenager, as growing up, he brought in trophies. I mean, accolades after accolades, he said. And he said his mother never came to see him. And he also went and said that he became his own cheerleader. That's why he became the person who he is today. Because not having no support, he became his own cheerleader. He bigged himself up. And he said how he became this superstar athlete, but he still felt alone. He named everything under the sun. Everything under the sun that one can have in this world system that believes that it brings us fulfillment. But he said it didn't. He said he would get out of a bed feeling empty. And his bed cost $25,000. the cars, the women, the clothes, the jewelry. He said, what y'all saw, I felt so alone. And I could relate to that. That's why I sit down, because I relate to it. I can be honest. There's many times I've been around my own family. I'm talking about Beth Yahweh, and I felt alone. Not anything because of y'all. It's because of what was going on inside of me. It was because what I was had going on inside my mind. You know, and if you ever been in that situation, it's like is a small feeling of shame. And you look. You don't really look people in their eyes because you don't want people to see. It's like some way, somehow they gonna see through this mask that I'm putting on. Some way, somehow they gonna see through these smiles, these laughing, these joking and all that, and they gonna see really Sean, who's a lonely man, who tried to fulfill in all these other ways. But the ultimate fulfillment for loneliness is Yahweh. Yes, we know he said that a man should not live alone. But the ultimate fulfillment of this world is Yahweh. Regardless of what else we have in our life, everything else enhances our life. It makes our life a little bit better. But the ultimate fulfillment is Yahweh. Totally giving control of Yahweh and not being attached to the world system. But that's growth. That don't happen overnight. You go back and you wonder why the prophets always lived alone. They always, you read into the scriptures, they didn't live around Israel. They didn't live in the community. They stayed alone. Included. We don't want to live like that these days. Nobody do. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that we should live like that. But it is a growth, and some want it and some don't. That's something that, I don't know how we are. But I know at times the loneliness is there. The emptiness is there. Emptiness. You feel it. It's being honest. And did Brother Eliyahu experience that emptiness? I'm quite sure all believers experience that in loneliness at one time or another. All of us, if we honest with ourselves. And if 9 times out of 10, it's because we didn't step away from Abiyah. We didn't step away. We didn't allow life situation to cut off that voice. Let's get back to the story. 22, family, 1822. And Eliyahu said to the people, I alone am a prophet of Yahweh, but the prophets of Baal are 450. Now let them give us 2 bulls. Let them choose 1 bull for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but set no fire. I prepared other bull, shall lay it on the wood, but set no fire. So call on the name of your mighty one, I, name of Yahweh, the Elohim who answers by fire. He is Elohim. So all the people answered and said, word is good. It must be a battle of the gods again. We know that Israel, because I know that it's awful, but there's God in the minds of people. There are people who believe that they are walking and teaching the ways of Yahweh. We talk about Israelites. But they are far off. They are far off. Far off. that they're not doing what happened to us this past week. Where those we was off that one time. Yep. We was off that one time. Miscalculation. All right, we learned the lesson, we repent, we back on the path. But yeah, every month you believe in that the full moon is the new moon. But when you get down to the two dark days, what you do with that? What you do with the two dark days? You know, you believe the Sabbath is on the lunar moon. Every once a month, every time the moon come around, that's the Sabbath. That's the only day out of the other four Shabbat that we should keep is the new moon. That's a little something right there. You know, that's a stretch. I'm going to say that. Yeah, I find myself lately, when I'm talking to brothers and sisters, being a Shabbat El, being jumping down and as I was back in my day, condemning, it's trying to find a common ground so we can stay on this conversation and so we can both walk towards Yahweh. So I can keep that person in, or they can show me where I'm wrong. And we can build. 25. And Eliyahu said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, and are many, and call on the name of your mighty one, but set no fire. So they took the bull which was given them and prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, O Baal! But there was no voice. No one answered. They leaped about the slaughter place which they had made. And it came to be at noon that Eliyahu taunted them and said, cry aloud, for he is a mighty one. He is meditating, for he is busy, or he is on a journey, for it could be that he is asleep and has to be awakened. y'all know that's not Eliyahu saying that, right? That's no, you know, that's Yahweh, who has a sense of humor, speaking to that brother. And they cried aloud and cut themselves according to their ruling with knives and spears until the blood gushed out on them. And it came to be when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the bringing the evening offering. But there was no voice, and no one answered, and no one paying attention. Look, the people done turned away. Ain't nobody even paying attention on them. They're up there acting a fool. Then Eliyahu said to all the people, come closer to me. Yeah. Let me get your attention. This show, I got turned off. But turn around. Let me get your attention. Come a little closer. Got something. Then Eliyahu said to all the people, come closer to me. All the people came closer to him, prepared to slaughter place of Yahweh that was broken. Why, Eliyahu? He's going to repair. His spirit is going to move on the children of Israel, and they are going to be moving towards repairing the altar of Yahweh. And remember, Malachi 4:6, or 4:4, remember my servant, Moshe. And Eliyahu took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of Israel, tribes of the sons of Yaakov, to whom the word of Yahweh had come, saying, Israel is your name. And with the stones he built a slaughter place in the name of Yahweh, and he made a trench round about the slaughter place large enough to hold two sized seeds of seed. And he arranged the wood and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, pour jars with water. Pour it on the ascending offering and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water flowed around the slaughter place, and he filled the trench with water too. And it came to be, at the time of bringing the evening offering, that Eliyahu the prophet came near and said, Yahweh Elohim, Israel, let it be known today, you are Elohim, Israel. I, your servant, have done all these matters to by your word. Answer me, people know that you are Yahweh Elohim, and you shall turn their hearts back to you again. Why, Eliyahu? Eliyahu was doing. Listen to what he's doing. And look, he's not even talking specifically to the prophets that didn't or wasn't a part of the people. Fire of Yahweh fell in the ascending offering, and the wood and the stones and the dust, it licked up water that was in the trench. And all the people saw and fell on their faces and said, Yahweh, he is Elohim. Yahweh, he is Elohim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Eliyahu said to the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Eliyahu brought them down to Wadi Kukim, slew them there. And Eliyahu said to Ahab, go up, because of the sound of noise of rain. And Ahab went up, and Eliyahu went top of Carmel, and he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up, please, look closely toward the sea. So he went up and looked closely, said, not a speck. And seven times he said, go up. And it came to be the seventh time that he said, see, a little cloud, as small as a man's hand, is coming out of the sea. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, hitch up and go down before the rain stops you. And it came, and in the meantime, it came to be that the heavens became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain, while Ahab rose and went to Jezreel. And the hand of Yahweh was on Eliyahu, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And this is when the man ran faster than the horn. Amen? Amen. One more place, family. Might be a couple more places. We're going to Revelation. Why Eliyahu? Why? Revelation 11, family. Well, we know why. We understand why. We just want to further the point. Because Eliyahu, the altar of Yahweh, the tribes of Israel have to be rebuilt. We have to become one accord. The people must be speaking on one accord. It got to be rebuilt. There's no five and six, seven different Torahs of Moshe. There's one Torah of Moshe. Yahweh said, he said this in several chapters, several books. There's one law for the homegrown and for the stranger, the Gentile, who sojourns along with you. One law is not a whole bunch of different books. Law, that is. 11, one of them, read down to 14, family. Just want to give it to him. And it read like a measuring rod was given to me. And the messenger stood, saying, rise and measure the dwelling place of Elohim and the slaughter place and those worshiping in it. But cast out the court beside the dwelling place and do not measure it, but it has been given to the nations, and they shall trample the set-apart city underfoot for 42 months. And I shall give unto my two witnesses, prophesied 1,260 days, clad in sackcloth. What, at the end of that, right? Why is Abba giving us the thought of them, to these two witnesses, clad in sackcloth? We know and understand in Israel that when sackcloth is about, is mourning time. Why are these brothers, why are they in mourning? We're going to read. And if anyone wishes to harm them, fire comes out, consume their enemies. And if anyone wishes to harm them, he has to be killed in that way. What did Eliyahu just do but bring fire down, right? These possessors of darkness to shut up the heavens so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. What did Eliyahu just do? Right? And they possess authority over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they would. What did Moshe do? Again, are these two always together? Together these two like this. Moshe and Eliyahu. Moshe, who turned the waters into blood through the Spirit of Yahweh. We know that's Moshe who brought the plagues upon Egypt. We know that Egypt points to this world system. Again, we bring in the pages, the words off the book, and we bring it to today. And we're seeing how they still apply to today. The Yahweh word is as he said. He said, yesterday, today, and forever, right? And when they have ended their witness, these came coming up out of the pit of the deep to fight against them and overcome them, kill them. And their dead bodies lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Mitzrayim, where also our master was impaled. He's talking about Israel. Israel today. Yahushua was impaled, put on that stake, spiritually called Sodom. It's written thousands of years ago. Why is it today that Israel is the leading sexuality? The world's biggest homosexuality parade goes on there way back then. Back then. Israel was going to end up that we just read it. Don't worry about the outer court because the Gentiles are going to trot that down. Don't worry about that. They're going to trot down that. And some of the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations see their dead bodies for 3.5 days. Not allow their dead bodies to be placed into tomb. These men must have did some sure enough pricking. But man, don't even want them to be buried. They want them up there for a message to anybody else even think about coming Yahweh. He's in Yahushua. Anybody, leave their bodies out in the street. The people know that this is going to happen to them if they come teaching Torah and Yahushua. Moshe. Eliyahu. Moshe, remember my servant. Remember my servant Moshe. And what did Eliyahu do? Just turn the hearts of the people back to Yahweh, which is Yahushua. And after the 3.5 days of the, I'm sorry, family, 10. And those dwelling on the earth rejoice over them. Exalt. Those dwelling on the earth will rejoice over the righteous being killed. What is that? Shall send gifts to each other because these two prophets tortured those dwelling on the word of Yahweh. They were teaching. Sure, HaMashiach. Them to hear that. Happy. Going to be happy. Dead. The world that is. And after the 3.5 days, a spirit of life from Elohim entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. Great fear fell on those who saw them, and they heard a loud voice from the heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up into the heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. And in that hour there came to be a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. And in the earthquake 7,000 men were, and the rest became afraid and gave esteem to the Elohim of heaven. And the second woe is past, and see, the third woe is coming speedily. Brother Daniel, a couple of weeks ago, talked about that there must be bloodshed. For righteousness to be established on this earth, bloodshed must come. We understand that. That's right. But mankind only understand that. They only understand brute force. They don't want that salt, that forgiving mighty one. They didn't want it for 7,000 years, 6,000 plus. They didn't want it. Have to come with brute force. Some don't like to hear that, but that is the reality of things. To come with brute force. That's all the only way they're going to listen. The only way. One more scripture for me. Just some hallelujah, right? Some hallelujah. Psalms 118. I will read the whole chapter, but I'm only going to start from verse 26 to 29. Is he who is coming in the name of Yahweh, bless you, the house of Yahweh, amen. Who is El, gave us light. The festival of offering with cords, the horns of the solar plate. You are my El. Praise you. You are my Elohim. I exalt you. Yahweh is good. For his loving commitment, everlasting. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That is the end of my blog talk, family. Thank you for those who are listening. Thank you for Abba Yah for giving us another journey on his word to give us in a different way the same message. Yahushua HaMashiach. Yahushua HaMashiach. Torah, Yahushua HaMashiach. Torah, Yahushua HaMashiach. And different ways, he's given us the exact same message to different Marines. Here are the patience of the saints. Those who keep the commandments of Yah and have the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. The set apart one. Amen. Amen. Let me get the benediction. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh. Blessed is Yisra'ah with Shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abba Yah, once again, for the beginning of your Shabbat, Father Yah. Father Yah, ask and pray for the Moray that comes up next. Brother Daniel, who have a double portion tomorrow, that you put your word within him, Father. Keep that adversary far from him, Father. And when he shoot those fiery darts, Father, that he have his shield to face ready, Father. And when he swing on him, Father, that he have his sword of the Spirit ready, so sharp and prepared for that old adversary, Father, because he's coming, Father, that his mind be prepared in preparation with the gospel, with the good news of Yahushua HaMashiach, Father, that he stand firm on your word, Father, and move any dart. Anything that the adversary shoots at him, Father, And I pray for all your trials, all the saints, Father, that they be ready for that old adversary, Father, that they stand. Because he thinks to divide, Father. He thinks to separate, Father. He thinks to bring confusion, Father. That Israel, no one understand the tactics of the devil. No one understand that we are one in Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Israel. Shabbat shalom, Abiyah. Amen.
So wonderful, my Yah, you are. So wonderful, Almighty Yah. So wonderful, my Yah, you are. So wonderful, holy, 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 holy.
Change my life, I'ma do things right. Yeah. too much. And the truth out the truth, back and forth too much. Time I'm gonna be faithful, that's for sure. Yeah, cause I don't wanna live the way I did before. Oh, no, 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 no.
Like I used to be, no, no.